thank you for joining us for this chapel message from the campus of Columbia International University in Columbia, South Carolina. Our mission at CIU is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ.
Well, good morning. God bless you. I want to hear good morning back. Now, come on. Good morning.
Good morning.
This is awesome. It is so wonderful to be here with you today. And I tell you, every time I come to this campus, I literally feel the power of God, the presence of God as I drive on International Boulevard. My testimony to you is that when I was a seminary student, a lot of life was happening in my life. And I could have been upset, I could have been crying, it didn't matter, I could have been mad. But when I turned left onto International Boulevard, it was as if the power of the Holy Spirit rested upon me. And I am forever grateful because this campus is like a sanctuary. So in your journey here, I personally ask each one of you, make the most of every opportunity, every professor, every classmate, every prayer day, everything that's offered, every opportunity to do mission work, whatever, but make every opportunity to make this time that you're here be worthwhile, because someone's eternity depends on it. Amen? So I want to move further with you. So let's pray and I'll get into our message for this morning. Father, I thank you, I bless you, and I do honor you because you're faithful and you're true. And so I ask you right now, God, wherever there are hindrances, wherever there are barriers, anything that would stand between your voice, your word being heard this morning, that you would remove it. Deal with our ears, deal with our hearts, deal with our minds, that we may be able to hear the truth, receive the truth, and live the truth. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to take for a text this morning is Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, and then 13 through 16. Ephesians 4, beginning with the first verse, it says, "Therefore I, the prisoner of the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing one another in love, being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace." And verse 13 begins, "Until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of people, by craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into him who is the head, that is Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body, the building up of itself in love." As you heard, I am a middle school teacher. And I'm the type of teacher, I pride myself on my classroom being peaceful. I like to find out what's going on in the students' minds, in their hearts, and I like to deal with those issues in my classroom. And when the semester begins, I tell the students, if you think that you've come in here to learn about computer science only, you are wrong. I tell them, I say, you know, you've come in this room and for some reason you ended up getting one of those Christians who truly believes the word of God. And so I will look for every opportunity to give you a life lesson. Some of the kids smile, some of them are like, and some of them, they don't know what to do about it. But I like to make sure that they know and they understand that we are to unite in our classroom. There's nothing that we can't handle together, that we are to have a united body of peace when they walk in the door. Now, right about this time of the year, when it gets cool, we start having issues. Because what happens? They get a little bit comfortable with school, and then they want to use their cell phones. Well, you know, we have a no cell phone policy between school time. So whenever I say to them, put the phone up, I get an attitude. But it quickly dissipates. But what really takes place this time of the year, people start wearing hoodies. And we have a no hoodie policy in the building. So it never fails. If I say, Jonathan, please remove your hoodie. Miss Williams, why I gotta remove my hoodie? It's not bothering anybody. And I'm like, well, that's not the point. And so they'll build up a campaign against me as to why they have to remove the hoodie. And it's not fair. And I tell them, you know what? I don't make the rules. I have to follow them, and so will you. And it never fails. By the time we get to fifth period, I have someone who is faithful named Jaden. Jaden will always tell the class, leave Miss Williams alone. Come on, y'all. Leave Miss Williams alone. She's just doing her job. And so the title of our message today is, come on, y'all. Come on, y'all. I'm thinking about Jaden, because when I go back to work today, he will be the first person that will walk through my door at fifth period. In this text, Paul was just doing his job. He was bringing some enlightenment to correct the church at Ephesus. As an educator, sometimes I've learned that I have to choose my battles. With all 130 little mini militants, I have to learn to choose my battles well. One reason I want to choose my battles is because I want to know just how far they'll go. And the other reason, I want to know what they're really thinking. Because if I know what they're thinking, then I know how to handle and how to address it. And in a similar way, I always remind them that I am under the authority of the district that I work with. And so Paul was under the authority of who? Almighty God. So when Paul came to them as a man under authority, his job was to remind them and to tell them, what does God say about the matter? And more so, what does God say about the matter? What does that mean to you? How do you apply it to your life? Because that's where the rubber meets the road. I'm going to be very straightforward with you today because we don't have time. Right now, I'm in the midst of working on my dissertation. And mine has to do with, of all things, conflict in the church. And what I've learned through all of this research is that the church is losing people. Across denominational lines, we are losing people, and we're losing people to religions that are not Christian. And it's because somewhere the church has lost its power, not God's power. But the people have lost their power. Do you understand what I'm saying? And so when I ask the question, what does God say about the matter? And what does it mean? This is where the rubber meets the road. See, if you're in seminary or if you're in Bible college, it's not a ticket that you're living your life a particular way. This is about unity. This entire text has to do with unity. And glorifying God with that unity. Because we can fool ourselves. We're here at CIU. People come from all over the world. We do mission work. All sorts of colors, ethnicities here. But we can truly fool ourselves because we can write well. We know what that professor's looking for. So once I learn what he's looking for, then I know how to craft my paper. Am I getting warm in here? I know I am. Because many times we don't allow the word to penetrate our hearts so that we will make sure that when we go out, that we're delivering the word not only in what we say, but in how we're living. Now, if I'm preaching to you and you agree with me, I want you to say amen sometime. Come on. Because this is true. This is what the word tells us. In this text, Paul mentioned the word mystery. And he had alluded to this mystery early. Without going through the complexities of the Greek language, and I know many of you are taking the Greek language, in simple terms, Paul was saying this. He was sharing a wisdom that had been hidden from the ages, which is now being revealed. Okay? So with this, up to that point, Paul was being used to make sure the believers were to get the point that you're not special because you are Jewish. That this word is not just for you, the Jewish, but this word is for the Gentiles as well. And you might ask yourself, we're not dealing with all of that now, so what's your point? My point is this. As we are traveling through our lives as believers, those of us who are called by God, we have a responsibility to go across the street to the neighbor that you really know doesn't care for you because they don't throw up their hand. We have a responsibility to show love to that person that everybody talks about. We have a responsibility. We have so many responsibilities, and I look at them as an honor. Because what I do know is that if you withhold the love of God from someone who's in need of it, do you understand? If you withhold it, you may be, as the old people used to tell me when I was coming up, you might be the only Jesus that somebody ever meets that will make a difference. I can remember sitting in a class here at CIU, and it was a counseling class. And there was a sister in the class who was going through a turbulent marriage. And she began to speak out loud what she was feeling, her anger, and the fact that she was found it difficult to forgive her husband. And in the course of her just going on and on and on about all the things that he did, there was a hush that went over the room. And the professor said, well, we can talk about this privately. And she didn't want to stop talking. She just kept going. So he said, again, we can talk about this privately. And me being my assertive self, I raised my hand. And I commented that perhaps, and when I went into what I was saying, she looked at me. And I thought she was getting ready to really give it to me. But what she said to me, she said, thank you. She said, thank you. Because you don't know, I'm tired of people preaching to me, preaching at me. I want somebody to give me something practical to be able to use. Because I don't want to end my marriage. Why am I saying this? Here at this school, you're being equipped. But that equipment should not stay in the closet. We're to use it, right? In this text about unity, Paul was telling them, come on, y'all, let's get with the program. Let's understand what we need to do. See, in the background of this text, what was happening with the Ephesians church was there were people who were leaders who had come in and they were teaching something other. In other words, they were trying to put, they were trying to make the people who were Gentiles do certain things. But as I grew up understanding, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. So when we are dealing with this, and I'm saying to you, come on, y'all, let's get with the program. I want this to be personal for you. Because so many times we find ourselves going along just to get along. But I want us to be comfortable standing up on our own two feet. And if you have to stand by yourself because God is with you. That's what this is all about. So come on, y'all. I want you to think about this. The church is struggling right now. We know the righteous thing, but we like to accept what has been lies, things that have been told to us, right? We have to be honest with ourselves. Many times we start looking for something and we already have it. How many of you have ever gone shopping? I love to shop. You go shopping and you're looking for something in particular. And as you're shopping, you realize you can't even find it. And then the Holy Spirit begins to remind you, it's already in your closet. Have you ever had that? I mean, so many times, and I'll come home with bags and my husband will say, I don't even want to see it because I already know you already have that. But the truth of the matter is that many times what we're looking for, we already have it. And so when we're listening to what other people are saying, I say this emphatically because what is going on in the church right now, and we're losing people, one of the reasons is that the peace and the power that the church stands for, we're so divided that it's not drawing people in. Do we understand that? Because if I were a sinner and I were lost and I had to pattern myself after some of the believers, I wouldn't want it. Because it is the love of God that we are to walk in. And you might think this is funny and it doesn't matter, but somebody's life depends on you because you are purposed to be here right now. I love it that before the foundation of the earth, the Lord knew that you would be here. And so there is great purpose in your being here. So come on, y'all. I want us to think about what unity really means. Ephesians 4:3, it says, endeavoring or being diligent to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We already have peace because we know if we have Jesus, he is what? He is the Prince of Peace. But we are to pursue. I don't know how many people are dating on campus, but I know 33 years ago, my husband pursued me before we were married. It was like my phone would ring at a certain time of day and we would get off the phone and then he would have to call me back again. He would want to make sure that I didn't make plans with my girlfriends. We're going to do something this weekend. He was pursuing me. And some of you young ladies are being pursued on this campus. I know you are because some of you are so beautiful. Some of you have this way about yourself and these young men are looking at you. I know it's true. Come on, girls. Yeah. But we are to, but what we must do is to be diligent to keep the unity in the bond of peace. So how do we do that? We need to resolve that it's not about us, that it's all about Jesus. We need to fix our hearts on him. And we need to deal with our personal issues. I say that again. We need to deal with our personal issues. We dress it up and we might say we have some conflict. And how do we do that? We watch what we say. We watch how we look at people. We refuse to be arrogant. Turn away from being prideful, stop gossiping. And those times that we become angry, we need to let that anger just be a righteous indignation in such a way that we are not led into sin. We ought to always prepare for the worst, but in faith expect the best. Come on, y'all. We need to recognize that Unity is a gift that we grow in. Ephesians 4 and 13 says, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God. Understand this, God called us. I remember being in a small little Baptist church, and they would always say, come as you are, but don't you stay the same way. Come as you are, but it's not for you to be comfortable and stay that way. See, the church cannot unite until we deal with our personal stuff. And we all have some. No matter how cute you are, no matter who your family is, no matter how many generations has been at this school, everybody has some issues that need to be dealt with. And these are the issues that hinder us from working with other people and truly being transparent. As I said, you may not ever ask me to come back, but I want to tell you the truth while I have the opportunity. Amen? Amen. Unity is something that we grow in. We learn how to be united. We have to be intentional. We have to be intentional to take off all of that stuff that we have and clothe ourselves in humility and pray and seek the will of God for our lives. And we also have to trust the Holy Spirit that He's at work in us. We have to increase in our faith and in our knowledge. And so what does that look like? When we increase in our faith and in our knowledge, see, don't be misled that you're reading the Bible from cover to cover with your survey classes and your papers. Do not be misled that it is the knowledge that will save you. Do we understand? We have to properly apply that knowledge in order to really know that we know that which we say that we know. Until we can minister to someone else in their place of need, we don't really know what we think we know. Because people are looking for us to be real. Many of you may not even be saved, but you found yourself at this institution. And if you did, to God be the glory. You're here for a reason. And so those of you who are saved and said, I only want to go to a Christian institution because I'm saved, this is your opportunity to demonstrate your salvation. Not just telling people what the Bible says, but what does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean to your brother to forgive? What does it mean to your sister to live her life in a way that is modest, that she is loving, that she's kind, that she's valiant, she's bold, but she walks in grace and humility? What does that look like? For you young men who like to pressure, we know what's going on. What does it look like for you to be the kind of man that would set an example that other young boys can follow you? Based on what God's word says, this is what promotes unity. That it's not that we're tossing to and fro and we're believing because one psychologist said this or one philosopher said that. I'm going to latch on to that because therein is my open door. And some of you might say, oh, really? Oh, for real? People lose their faith following after philosophy. Philosophies of men, but it is the word of God that will save us. That's where the power lies. And so for us to unite on this campus in the way that we should, let's not pretend. If you don't know the Lord, don't act like you do just so that people will think that you're acceptable. Tell the truth so that you can be helped. If you have a problem with an issue, be transparent so that people will know how to deal with that issue in your life and help you. Remember me telling you about shopping for things, and I already have those things. See, when you're here on this campus, where else can you go? And you have this much wisdom and knowledge. You already have, if you're questioning, you have what you need right here. And I challenge you as students to use the professors, use everybody on this campus who does not mind ministering to your life according to the Word of God. Because this is what the church needs for the church to be united. This school has grown by leaps and bounds, and it has yet to grow to the capacity that I believe God has ordained for this school. We talk about evangelical unity. Let us unite as students. Let's show the world what this is truly about. In a practical way, let me say this to you. When you get in your cars and you go up and down, I can't even remember the name of the road now. When you go up and down this road, there are neighborhoods with children who've never been to church. There are neighborhoods with kids in this weather right now, they're still wearing flip-flops to school. What I'm saying to you is this, there is a homeless community right down on Main Street who want to hear, to know that somebody cares about their life. So we show our unity by putting our hands on people and touching them. We show our unity by sharing, not sending a check, but spending some time knee to knee with people. We have so many people, we just got through with a month looking at women who had been victims of domestic abuse. There are women's shelters all around town. You young ladies who have come from homes where it was stable, your voice may be the voice they need to hear that there is hope. Do you understand? And some of you came here as an escape because in your home it was so much violence that you came here for a safe haven. And if that is you, you still are a voice of hope to that woman that she can get out, that her children Amen. Have a future. I want to be real with you today. I cannot tell you, the world is waiting on you. The world is waiting on you to do your part, but you must unite with the Word of God. And then you can unite with your brother and your sister. I hope that something that I said today will have touched your heart in such a way that you decide that I'm not just going to this Christian institution, but I'm going to live that which I am studying about so that I can be effective in the world for Christ. Amen? If you would you stand and let us pray. And I want you to really stop and just truly think about your own life, where you are in your life, not the person beside you, not your teammate. And by the way, I heard the teams are doing awesome on campus. This is wonderful. But after having a daughter who was an athlete, I understand many times that kids go to school where they can get that scholarship and play. But don't be fooled. If that's you, you are here because God allowed you to come here for His purpose. And not just that ball, not just that sport. This is about eternity. So if you would close your eyes, and I want you to think about every issue in your life that may be standing in between your truly receiving the Lord, your truly honoring Him in your body, in your mind, and in your relationships with other people. Father, we come right now and we thank You. We bless You, God, because we know that You are faithful. And we know that there is nothing hidden with you. And so, God, as we bow our heads before you, we recognize, we know that many are the issues of the lives of these young people. But we know that you're faithful to be with them, to guide them, to direct them, to hold them, to nurse them, to be what you would have them to be. As we know, God, that there are some that are here that truly want to be mothered, that want to be fathered. There are many that are here that just want to know that they belong somewhere. And I ask you, Father, to touch the hearts of those on this campus, that they would reach out, that they would say hello to that person they never speak to, that they would touch the hand, that they would embrace someone and let them know that they care. Father, we thank you. As we know that you have brought us here on this very day for your purposes, Lord. So I declare before all of these witnesses that your promises are yes and they are amen. That it is your word that matters. It is your word that gives us life. And so we thank you that we know that you have never abandoned us, that you are there. You're our saving grace. And so we honor you today, not only in what we say, but in how we live, in all things. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Powerful words today. Thank you, Margot, for being here.
We hope you found this message a blessing to your life. More Columbia International University Chapel messages are available at iTunes and at podcast.ciu.edu. Learn more about CIU's undergraduate, seminary, and graduate programs at our website, ciu.edu. Columbia International University educates people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for the opportunity to minister to you today.